Blog Talk Radio.
Follow me. All praise due to Allah, the Evolver, sustainer of all the world. I seek His guidance. I ask His forgiveness. I trust in Him. I do not separate from Him. I bear witness openly that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that there is nothing like unto Him. And I bear witness openly that Muhammad is His slave servant and His messenger. Allah, the Most High, has said in the Quran, in which is revealed religion and Islam, that it should become the dominant religion over all others, though the idolaters, the heathens, pagans, whatever we like, what word we choose to use, detest it, hate it. All things due to Allah, if we as Muslims understand our religion, then we know that our religion is not to stand still in the world, but our religion is to grow and grow and grow until it becomes the dominant religion on this earth. That is what Allah has said. And if we are believers, then we believe in what Allah has said in the Quran. And our actions should be in accord with our belief. If we believe that Islam is going to triumph over all other religions, and I want to tell you that it already has triumphed over all other religions. But right in your own home, you must make it triumph. And in your communities, in your neighborhoods, in the city of Chicago, Islam, the religion of Islam, is the most practiced religion on the face of the earth. There are people who say they're Jews, but they don't practice their religion. There are people who say they're Christians, but they don't practice their religion. There are people who have various Bibles, kinds, there are different kinds of Bibles, but they don't read their Bibles. They don't live their Bibles. The Muslim religion is the religion that is lived and practiced by more people on the face of earth than any other religion. So it is already the dominant religion. What is a religion if it's not alive in the people? It is dead. So the most alive religion on the face of this earth is Islam. We thank Allah for blessing us with His guidance, the Quran. We thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad, to whom that guidance came about 1400 years ago, for blessing that dark world with a man that was not a product of that darkness, but a man who practiced from his early life the best morals and the best social behavior. He was polite, he was courteous, he was truthful, so trustworthy that the people of his day and time called him El Amin, long before he was missioned by Almighty God, Allah. They called him El Amin, the trustworthy one. I was reading the Bible one day, and it said, in the verse that I was reading, it says, and let the Amin say Amin. I say that's right. They should let El Amin finish the work. And you'll find some preachers in the church, they say, let the Amin say Amin. But they don't say Amin, they say Amen, like they're doing Amen. Let the Amen say Amen. And they get it from the Bible. I read it there. It says, let the Amen say Amen. Amen means Amin. That's the El Amin. Let El Amin say Amen. Now, in this first part of this khutbah, I want us to just give good thought, deep thought, to our own personal life. We are Muslims. How much have we actually become Muslim? We say we are Muslim. We give As-salamu alaykum, you know. And we say wa alaykum as-salam. As-salamu alaykum. What's your name, brother? Oh, my name is Mustafa Mu'min. What's your name, brother? Kareem Abdulaziz. What's your name, sister? Rashida Bia. Are we falling into the same slumber that this world has fallen into, calling ourselves names, but not knowing what those names demand of us? If my name is Rashid, I should try to be Rashid. If my name is Abdullah, I should try to be Abdullah. Some of us are named Al-Mumi, the one who causes death. Well, I guess he's causing death too. Al-Jabbar, the tyrant. Well, I guess he's tyrannical too. But I don't see any evidence that these persons are really coming around to be real Muslims. Allah has many fine names, attributes, and some of those names are just too much for us. So when we select the names of God, be careful and don't select a name that the poor little earthly you can't hold. You can't hold it up. Neither brothers, what's your name? My name is Allah. What in the world has happened to this brother's mind? Abdullah, Kareemullah, but not Allah. Allah, that name is all names in one. And how can you be all things? Especially all things of divine. You can't even be all things of the world. And here is a man say he's Allah, means he's all things of the divine. And that's impossible for us. So let us wake up. As Muslims, we should do our best to be honest and truthful with ourselves and with our brothers and sisters and with all people. A Muslim is not one who lives one life with his community and another life without the community. He is the one who lives one life. He lived the same life he lived with his brothers and sisters of his religion. He lived that life everywhere he goes. He won't rob from his brother, and he won't rob from a stranger. He won't deceive his brother, and he won't deceive the stranger. This is a Muslim. So we have to be aware of that. Let us think real seriously about our name. Muslim, and that's the best name. You have the name book. You know, we're talking about names. We did a lot of discussion in the book on names. But the book says the best name is Muslim. That's the best name for us. We can't have a better name than that. Muslim. I can be Bilalian. And be careful of Bilalian, because I know the outsiders will make mistakes. But I find that even some of the insiders are beginning to make mistakes. Maybe they were misled while they were outside and then come in with the mistakes and nobody has corrected them. Bilal is not your religion. Bilal doesn't mean you belong to some sect called Bilal. Bilal is a name that was given to end the confusion of our identity, around our identity. We have been called African, Afro-American. nigger, negro, colored people. We are Muslim. And we are Afro-Americans, of African descent. Bilal, he was a true African in his physiological or biological makeup. So to identify with that blood, we call ourselves Bilalians. And what's more important, Bilal was a strong, devout Muslim, suffering Muslim, selfless Muslim, one who gave of himself and was not selfish. So loving his spirit, his endurance, his ability to suffer and still hold on to our first principle, La ilaha illallah. I don't think there's a better ancestor for us to look back in history and grasp and say, I am such and such. Not even Abraham. Abraham was a great prophet. But I don't know of Abraham suffering like Bilal suffered. And right before death, saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, not giving it up. So this is a great ancestor to identify with. They say Abraham was a Jew, although the whole Quran says they have no proof of this. But there were no Jews when Abraham was on earth. There were no people called Jew when Abraham was on earth. They were called the sons of Israel, children of Israel, Jacobites and Israelites. And then later in their history, after Abraham, they called themselves Jews. And they say Abraham was a Jew. Abraham was a believer in God? Good. Abraham was one who followed the train of prophets? Good. Abraham was a Jew? Not good. Because the Jews, they came about later. All right. And we say, oh, Jesus was a Christian. But Christianity, too, came after Jesus. Jesus did not preach Christianity. He never told anybody to name your faith after me. But he did tell them, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. So he wanted them to be peacemakers. That's a Muslim. And what it says of the peacemakers? The children of God. They shall be called the children of God. Children of God means followers of God. So he's saying the Muslims shall be called the followers of God, not the Jews and the Christians and all these other people. The peacemakers. Well, the Jews are the peacemakers. Well, they should like that name then. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, let us remember that when we come into this religion, we come into a life, a complete life. We have to be conscious of our religion when we go to sleep, when we wake up, when we clean ourselves, when we dress, when we eat, when we go out and socialize, when we be on the job, when we are conducting business, when we are discussing things with other people. We have to remember our religion and keep our religion alive and dominating, controlling our actions and our thoughts all the time of the day. Don't be like this world that's under punishment. Pick up the religion when it's convenient. Or pick it up like a Sunday dress. No. Let us stand firm. Let us be truthful. Let us satisfy the wishes of righteous men, righteous servants of God, men and women, from time unknown. All of them wanted to see a community of people that would stand up and be truthful to what they say they believe. Let us do that, because in Islam, nothing less than that is acceptable. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Evolver, Sustainer of all the worlds. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda. I bear witness openly that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. La sharika lahu. There is nothing like unto him. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave servant and his messenger. We ask the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad, the universal prophet, the seal of the prophet, and upon his descendants, upon his companions, upon the righteous servants, all of them, and upon you, O Muslims, upon this community of Islam in the West, so that we will grow into a community like that community established by Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, about 1400 years ago. We want our community to become a community so devoted to the message of the Quran, so devoted to living the upright life that was demonstrated by Prophet Muhammad and many of his close associates, that the outside world will not have to hear us give them a message. They will see a message and become believers in Islam. Dear beloved people, brothers and sisters, before closing out this khutbah, I would like to speak a few minutes on the colors, the meaning of colors in scripture, particularly in the Quran. When you read the Quran in this society, or being a product of this society, you are subject to read the Quran with racist feelings, or racist influences moving in you, or staring in you. When you read that the Quran says their faces, meaning those who have wronged themselves, who have committed great sins, and who will be punished by Allah in the judgment, when you read of them that their faces will be blackened, you may feel sad, because your face might be black, physically black. And the Caucasian, when he reads the Quran, where it says that their eyes of the deceitful one, the wicked deceiver, is zarqa, which literally means blue. Zarqa. He might think, oh, this is an attack upon me. My eyes are blue. My eyes are blue. In the context of the Quran, if we can select those verses that deal with colors and put them together, we come up with the right idea on the meaning of colors in Quran. When the Quran says their faces will be blackened, the Quran also tells us what is meant by blackened. It says shame will cover their faces. Regret, painful shame and regret will cover their faces. This is the kind of blackness. What does black mean in the language of Scripture? Black means the absence of light. What does light mean in Scripture? Light means guidance of God. As the worldly light guide us physically, open the way so we can see where we're going physically, the revealed light opens the world or opens the way spiritually so we can see where we're going. So light is just a symbolic term, and white has been made a synonym for light. But not meaning the whole light, white means the moral light. The moral light. So those faces that are white will be people that have the light of moral excellence in them. And those that are black will be the people who are absent of that light. They don't have that light. They're lacking the light of moral excellence. Do I feel bad now because my skin is black? So, oh, my skin is black, and black means the absence of moral excellence. Black also means death in some people's language. It means death. Black means death in many languages. Why have the people used black to mean death? Because when you die, they figure death like sleep. When you sleep, everything is black. Unless you're dreaming. Right? Then you have some stitches on the black, or in the black, you see? So they figure death is going to be a blackout. You see? So since death is a blackout, then they say black for death. God did not reveal to these people, black means death. It was their language. They had this language before the revelation came to them. That black means death. God has to speak to you in your language. God never came to the people and told them white means life or white means moral excellence. It was the people who came up with these terms. And God had to speak to them in the language that they understood, the only language they had. You understand? But in speaking to them, God also corrected their problem. So God tells us that black doesn't mean the blackness of the skin or physical blackness. It's the absence of moral excellence. It's the absence of spiritual light. That's what he means in the scripture by black. And then he says that their faces shall be just stained. So tell us what it means. What is just? Earth that is lifeless. So Allah, he uses it in many ways in the Quran to let us know that we don't mean black like you think. Skin black. Rejection, the spirit of hopelessness is called, the faces will be like that, in the whole Quran says. That will cover their faces. And it says that blackness will cover their faces. And it also says that dust will cover their faces. Their faces will be stained by dust. So now we put all these together and we come up with the right understanding. Black must mean the absence of light, spiritual light. And black must mean death. What kind of death? Spiritual death. Spiritual death. Because God has said that their faces will be dust. Okay. Covered with the dust. So if my face is covered with a dust, dust, what is dust? Death. There's no life in dust. It can't produce life. You put a seed in it, it produces no life. So Allah has used the same, in the Quran, has used the same term that the old world used, but he has used them in such ways that it corrects our understanding. You see? Now, what about the Zulfar, the blue eye? I was in prison in Sandstone, Minnesota, so not going to the draft. And there was a brother, two brothers, so happy. Now this is odd, that two Italians in that small compound had blue eyes. One's eyes was very blue, and the other one was grayish blue. So this brother who had real blue, his eyes just stood out, real blue. I could tell that he had a burden on him that he shouldn't have been carrying. That brother was worried. He never would say it, but I could tell he was being tormented. Because in those days, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that blue eyes in the Quran, translated by Maulana Muhammad Ali, I believe, meant the mark with the blue eyes, the physical blue eyes of the Caucasian people, and that they are the real devil. You see. So this brother, he felt that I got the mark of the real devil. Never would say it, but I knew that's what was bothering him. So one day I talked to the brother on blue eyes, and I told him the word Zarqa in the Quran doesn't mean physical blue. It means disease. Doesn't mean it's physical blue, but there's a disease called glaucoma. And when you get that disease, it causes the color of the eye to lose, to go away. The color begins to get weak. And as it gets weak, it begins to look grayish blue, watery blue, watery blue. And the terminal state, the final state of that disease for our former eye, make it white, all grayish white. Are you aware of that? Anybody aware of glaucoma? Raise your hand. How many know about glaucoma? All right. Okay now. So why has the Quran used Zarqa? Because the people that the Quran was addressed to, the Arab people, and the people in that area, all of them knew that disease, glaucoma, by the name Zarqa. When it said Zarqa to them, they didn't think of blue eyes. They thought of glaucoma. We have diseases now that are named by color. Black this, black that. All of them black because these names came up under the races. Black pig, pig. Black this and black bowel and everything else, you know. So we hear black this and we know it's a disease. We don't think it's a color, we know it's a disease. Well, in those days, the people that heard Zarqa, they knew it was talking about the disease of the eye, glaucoma. But even in the color is a message. The eye has a design. It's not so much the color is gone, the design is gone. When you look at an eye, you see a pupil, then you see color, and white. If the eye becomes all white, it loses its design. And we look at the eye, we don't know where the vision is. So it's all white. But an eye that keeps its design, that keeps its color, the color keeps its design. When we look at the eye, we see vision in the center. That is pupil, focus point, in the center. And then we see white around it. Right? But if it
it becomes all white, it means everything is just one. It's confused. There's no focus. So a person who gets the disease of glaucoma, if we use that disease to describe the absence of spiritual vision in the person, then we are applying it correctly. A person will have no spiritual focus. To him, life is just all one thing. He doesn't discriminate between anything. Have this woman, have that woman, no license, license. Go with this woman, go with that boy, no discrimination. Go with that dog, that cow, that horse, no discrimination. Eat anything that you can swallow, no discrimination. Drink anything, no discrimination. That's a person who have lost the pupil. They have all become just glare. You see? Confused everything. So the glare eye means the blue, means that this person has not lost all of his vision. The disease haven't taken him over to the extent that he is dead. It has just reached the midway point. And that's the worst one. That's the worst one. You will read the Bible. I think the Bible says that God says, I wish you were either hot or cold. In between is the worst. If you're hot, well, we know where you are. If you're cold, we know where you are. But if you're in between, we don't know where you are. I mean, you're still showing the sign of religion. You're still identifying as God. But you are not really what you say you are. So why not just say, I don't believe, and get out there with a disbeliever? I'll come all the way and be a believer. I think we call that straddling in the fence, right? Well, that's what that Zarka is. He's one whose disease is just in the middle. He's not healthy, he's not dead. He's not healthy, he's not dead. He's sick, sick, sick. This is our top. Now, I'm going to let you go in just a couple of minutes, inshallah. Now, let us turn from Quran language now. No, just a moment. You don't want to stop right there. You have to give from the Quran mission color. Clear up this thing. And it mentions tribes and races. And the Prophet Muhammad has spoken on this thing. And has said, the best of you is not the white, not the black, not the Arab, not the non-Arab, but the one who's best in his conduct as a Muslim or before God. This is what Prophet Muhammad has said. And the Quran is talking us also on these colors, saying the same thing, but have also adjusted colors. It mentions the Quran in the Quran, the colors of the plant are mentioned. The color of plant life. And in the Quran, the colors in rock are mentioned, in the mountains. And God shows us that you find all colors. On the ground, among the flowers, and also in the rocks of the mountains. To let us know that we shouldn't discriminate. All the colors are accepted high and low with God. You see? Those men who have been missioned by God as prophets, they have been of black, they have been of white, they have been of red. This is what the Quran is saying to us in symbolic language. And many of the Eastern Muslims, they say that Luqman, the Prophet Luqman, the African black man. And there are some that say other prophets too of the Quran are black. But if there is no prophet named in the Quran of black, the Quran says that there is not a people, not a community on this earth that God has not raised up a messenger from them. So the Quran says that God has made messengers out of all colors, out of all nations, all people. They have had their messenger. This is the Quran. So when you read the Quran, don't let the whispers of the Satan, the whispers of the sneaking devil, be in your mind while you read and take you away from the clear light that God has in that Quran. In the Quran that you will find flesh of various colors, varying colors, says, and on this wise are similar are your colors. What does this mean? God say the plants are this color, that color, that color, and say my colors are on the same wise? What does God mean? He means that your color didn't come to you in a different, any way different from the way that color came to those plants. Do you make over a white rose, over a black lily, or a sister? You say they're lily. You don't get racist when you're dealing with black flowers or red or white flowers. The colors in this. The natural world don't suggest to us racism. But when we see colors on our own faces, some of us get the under influence of racism. And look, this is a big problem. It was once a big problem in Asia. The northern people of Asia brought it down into what we know as India today. In ancient times. And about 400 or 500 years ago, it became a big problem for the Western world. The same old Aryan racism was reborn. That's not true. Never being revived. Brought back on the planet. Same old thing came up again under the name of white supremacy. America in the West and spread all over. The Quran destroys it, root, trunk, and branch. But you have to be innocent yourself to get that kind of understanding. A racist can't go to the Quran and be guided away from his racism unless he first give up racism. If he go there as a racist, it's not going to guide him. His racist eye can't see the light of truth. He will see it and won't recognize it. He will take the truth, that is, to clear up the problem and use it to confuse himself. Isn't this a wonderful book? A book that just won't let a liar get into it. You have to be right. Now let us go to the Bible on the color. The so-called Jewish people had made a problem by calling a white holy, white pure, white holy and all this. They made a problem. And from them, we got the problem. They got it from somebody else, too. They got it from the James and others who were even before them. Go way back in time. And if you go to the black, the so-called black or the African people, you'll find that there was a time when they worshiped, they thought black some people, not all of them, but some silly-minded, weak person, he gets it, and then he gets to some followers, and pretty soon he's known. They used to worship a black cow in Egypt. It was their holy, sacred god, black cow. And then when the Caucasian influence became strong in Africa, they changed the black cow for the white cow. They had to. They couldn't help it. They had a black cow as holy, so they had to make a white cow holy. So the Bible speaks of the leper. The leper. They are the diseased people, skin disease. And I don't care if you're Caucasian. Leprosy will make you whiter. You know that? You can be Caucasian, but you can get a little whiter. You can get leprosy. So the lepers weren't allowed into the sacred, into the, what they call it? The, what they call the place where you, all the holy things are? Sanctuary. They weren't allowed into the sanctuary. They weren't allowed to come into the prayer place. Now, we know leprosy is a disease, and it's contagious.
Yeah, I think you can catch that stuff, can't you?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, we can understand them keeping them out,
but the Bible just a whole lot of talk on the lepers. I think I read some chapters in the Bible are smaller than it's been what I read on the lepers. The lepers, and how to handle the lepers, and how to keep them clean, how to make them clean, and all this is in the Bible on the lepers. But the same Bible speaks of the white as a sign of holiness, purity. For it says that they shall be washed white as snow. White as snow. You see? And another place to speak of the full of soap, you know. Full of soap. The best soap will be used. Get your white as snow. So we have to understand what the scripture is talking about. And when you read the Holy Quran, understand that the Quran comes after this confusion and deals with it wisely in a way that doesn't excite the people to make more trouble, but to awaken their good senses so that they can see that these things are to be applied spiritually and not physically. We're really talking about the colors that is.
As-salamu alaykum, this is Brother Khaled, and that was part one of the Juma that was made in 1977. And that was June 17th. And I apologize for the static. It's an old, old tape that was converted to MP3. And that's what happens sometimes. But for me, I can dismiss it and focus on the man's voice because he's laying down some heavy, heavy current lessons for our development. And it gets wonderful to hear. So I'm going to go ahead and play the second part. But I want to remind you that tomorrow at 2 o'clock p.m. East Coast time, Imam Sadiq Jihad will be on the station IWM with a kutbah. It's Friday. And 60 minutes, so you're invited to join us if you're not going to the masjid. And you'll be at a comfortable place to listen to a lecture. So 2 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be broadcasting. And now we're going to go on to part two. It's 46 minutes, and after that, we'll just close on out. So take care. Assalamu alaikum. And also, I want to invite you, one more thing. Please join us on the social network on the internet at www.wearewiththeimam.ning.com. All right, that's it.
get the transparency. Is there even a color in it? I believe so. We get white from transparent.
The transparent ice, if you crush it up, it's white. Have you ever took a hammer or something or crushed transparent ice up? It becomes white. But if you put it back together with no cracks, it's pure, it's transparent. Returning to the Quran, to conclude this, the Quran mentioned colors that will be colors in paradise. In the future life, or the future world. What are these colors? They are white, green, gold. There might be some others, but these are the ones that I recall, the dominant ones. White, green, and gold. Now, if there's whiteness in the, we're going to wear whiteness in the future world, what is this whiteness? It is what we were saying. It is moral excellence. Moral excellence. Green. What will be the green? Life. Life. But this word life covers a lot. It means prosperity. We will be prosperous. One side of the dollar is green, is it? It means prosperity. So in the future world, we're not going to be poor and suffering for need. We are going to have riches. And then it says the gold. We're going to have a gold. What is the gold? No, no. The green is riches. See, the gold, it became monetary exchange, I think, later. The gold rush came in California, you see. We're talking about something long before those days. Although in ancient times they did have gold, Middle Ages too. Gold was looked upon as a wealth, well, a symbol of wealth. But actually, gold here doesn't stand for material wealth at all. It stands for intellectual wealth. Gold stands for knowledge. Then they say, wear garments, white, with strings woven in it of gold. All purity and no knowledge is no good. You have to have purity, knowledge, and green, life, and prosperity. Allahu Akbar.
I hate to put you through that. I feel like that's torture when you hear that static. So I think it's best that I go over this tape, and if I can, find one that's a little bit better in terms of its clarity so we can hear you man speak. So I apologize one more time. But I mean, the first half was pretty good. The second half was pretty terrible, in my opinion. So I don't think we have to put ourselves through this torture. But just to thank God that we were able to hear what we could. So we'll end this session tonight. And next week, I promise to bring you another fantastic lecture by Imam W.D. Muhammad. So take care. Assalamu alaikum. God bless. And thank you for joining us.